Forever Dog.
Ouch, I got a blister.
Oh, wow. Well,
nature's Band-Aid.
You've had those blisters before.
Hey, hey now.
Welcome back for yet another
steaming, piping,
scalding serving of
hot goss.
This, of course, is our weekly chat show where we talk about events in our lives, issues in politics, and take a deep dive into the DMs. Now, let's get into some the condor
problem.
I'm gonna
burn that bird. That bird's gonna get burnt by the hot goss.
The condors want a sip on the hot.
Oh my god, wait. Who's riding on the back of that bird? Oh my god. She has two birds harnessed, a platform pleaser on each bird's back, and they look happy to be carrying her, as would I. It is our special guest for Hot Goss this week, the one, the only, Peppermint!
Yes! Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh,
those
my gosh,
birds were so
thank
nice.
You for being here.
You know, I have them trained. I pay them well.
Atta girl. You for
taming the condors. How are you doing?
How? I don't know, but I'm actually pretty good. I had a Red Bull and a popsicle, so I'm good.
I love that.
People keep asking me how I'm doing, and I just keep saying I'm doing. Like I'm trying to do stuff, and because anytime I sit, I get like in my head too much, and then or like I feel like I'm wasting my time if I'm not doing anything. So I just keep trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Doing.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Peppermint, I'm so glad you're here, and I just want to thank you for being a leader and being a voice, because the conversations you've been having with Bob on YouTube are life changing. and we've been promoting them and like telling everyone on this podcast to tune in and watch them. So
thank you
for doing that.
Yes. Yeah. When are you gonna help her with her wigs though?
I tried. I lost a nail, as you can see.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah, we decided to get together and do those talks. It was really impromptu. They usually just happen on the phone. And then it was the first one that we did, because there was we've done three, and we're about to do another one this weekend. I guess it kind of turned into a podcast. Oh, God. Where we just... We were so fed up, and of course, this was right after George Floyd's murder, and we had just been experiencing so many of the same things at the same time that we're like, let's get on and talk about it, and it's been received really well.
Yeah.
You know?
So, you're in New York, right?
New York City!
No. Mm-hmm.
Holding it down for all of the street sex workers.
Right. What is the vibe in New York right now?
You know, I mean, between COVID and the protests, it's like COVID kind of put us in this particular mind frame, you know what I mean? Where everybody was on in lockdown, and it was for a minute, it was really, for me, really just so depressing, because there were so many people leaving the city, trying to get out, get away, you know, maybe they wanted more freedom. Maybe they didn't want to have to be like they were in lockdown. Maybe they wanted to be safe, because for a minute, we were like ground zero for Corona, right, in the country. And you know, for most of this experience we have been. And so that was really kind of, it got me down. And then now after seeing people come together for the protests, it really has gotten me like extra invigorated, and the feeling in New York really does seem to be like we are in this together. I know in LA y'all were doing it at 8 o'clock, at 7 o'clock here every night, still people are out their windows clapping, people I have never seen across the alley. They've probably looked at my window, but I've never seen, I don't know who they are, but every single day we're hanging out our heads out the window clapping for the you know, first responders for COVID, which is obviously still a thing. And then people just galvanizing, going down to these protests. And at first I was like, oh gosh, it's rowdy. I don't know what's going to happen. There's obviously been a lot of bumps with like the cities putting in these curfews and trying to like deter people from protesting, but that hasn't stopped people. It's just gotten us more like information, and people are going and they're peaceful and they're marching and they're ignoring their, well, now we don't have a curfew because the last couple of days people were like, we're not getting arrested and we're not going to the curfew. So you can try to do what you want. We're marching peacefully and we're not looting and we're getting, you know, was that a gunshot?
It was a whip crack.
Sorry, that was my pony. That was my ponytail. I didn't mean to do that.
See,
while you were talking. Now, were they putting in curfew? I know that I was out protesting, and I literally got a curfew notice for less than an hour away from when it was supposed to be. And I was like, I'm on my bike. I could get home in time. I didn't get home in time, but it's the, and then that New York police chief saying that he's demanding respect and all of that. That was they're being demonized.
It was laughable.
Did you see his speech spliced in with all the accounts of the New York police brutality?
I saw that today, and it's a joke. You can't. It's more than tone deaf. It's just disingenuous, morally bankrupt. It's
all
like
white people in the front. Did you see that?
All of them. Not one opportunity to put the black officers that you do have there, which I guess that would have been tokenizing anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like the White House intern photo for sure from this year.
They're playing some games down there, honey. They did the same thing here. I was out at a protest and it was like about 6:30 or 7:30. And I said, you know, I could see the cops because they sent out this was the first night of curfew. They sent out the curfew notice the same time the cops were moving in. Like, I was at the back of the thing, and I was like, ooh, there's a lot of cops already with their billy clubs and their hand, you know, ties out and, like, ready. Like, they're ready.
Yeah.
And they're marching. And I was like, and I just texted some friends. I was like, the cops are closing in. And I had already made the decision to go home because I had something to do. And then as I was going home, like, literally as I was walking from the cops, I get an alert. Curfew starts in 30 minutes. And to be extra fierce, they're like, curfew starts in 30 minutes. And Lyft and Uber end at 30 minutes.
And what? City bikes
and everything. Yeah. No traveling. So you're going to be stuck where you are in 30 minutes. You can't get anywhere in 30 minutes.
No. No.
Oh, as any girl who's ever said, just give me 5 minutes, you know that's 30 minutes at least.
Hello.
Oh, my God. Hey, I have a question for you. You've been so vocal with everything. You're an activist, an educator, and basically a voice for the community. But you're also an entertainer, and that's been like playing a dual role in your basically career now. Do you think you could ever go into politics?
I would. I certainly would. I don't know if I could like right now, but as an older lady, I'm not ruling it out. You know, I mean, yeah, so I could definitely, I want to be engaged with a lot of different people. It's obviously really important for me to talk about for our community, for the LGBT community, for the queer black community and trans folks. But even more, the only thing I'm interested, in addition to all those things, I'm also interested in really sort of building bridges between the different groups, you know, and just having understanding, being like, easily flowing between everybody.
That's what I'm focused on. Is that what CLAT was originally founded on? The principles of?
Yes, darling. Okay. We wanted to let CLAT. The people understand.
Legend!
It was a manual on intersectionality.
Yeah. Well, speaking of CLAT, how do you feel about our season 12 crowned queen, Miss Jada Essence Hall?
I couldn't be more proud. Yes, 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 yes. you know, I couldn't be more proud. I was trying to be very clear about the message in the very beginning that she was the one person that I thought would take the crown. I couldn't even pronounce crown. I couldn't figure out like what I was saying in
they were gonna give her crayons.
I was so in awe of her fabulousness. I couldn't even clearly articulate it on what's the thing with Bob the drag queen? Pit stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think she's dope and I'm so happy for her. It got a little shaky in the middle of the season. I wasn't quite sure. But I think she slayed it, you know, and I don't, there was no robbery. It was well deserved.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, she's amazing. I love her. And every single thing she wears on the runway, I literally would wear. I want all of it.
She was in my top three when she walked in the workroom. I was wrong about the third one. I thought it was going to be Jan, Gigi, and Jada.
Same.
Really?
Oh, wow.
I thought it was going to be Jan as well. Something told me that Jan went. I didn't even think I that assumed. Jan would be less than top four.
Me too. Same, totally. And when they told me Jackie was, I was like, I've never heard of Jackie. And then Gina, our mutual friend, said she does a lot of cabaret stuff. I was like, oh, okay. Can't wait to see what she does. And then Crystal was just bat out of hell, sent from heaven, because I love everything she did.
Talk about a wild card.
Yeah, so fucking dope.
So are you watching All Stars 5? Are you? Is it on your radar?
I watched the first. I mean, it's only been one episode. I don't know when this comes out, but of course it's on my radar. I am a little fatigued,
girl. Yes.
I have a blister in a spot I've never had a blister before.
On your brain and your eyeball.
Fuck you. Those are lesions. No.
Wow.
The one, I have this low rider bike and I've been riding to the protests and like the low rider part of the seat that scoops up in the back is rubbing against like my tailbone, like right where right where your crack spreads when you sit on a bike seat. So I literally, thank God I'm not having sex, because I'd have to say, don't mind the blister in my taint. Just,
your ladybugs?
Look.
you have ladybugs.
No, it's not on the undercarriage. It's on the top, like where you get like a poloidal cyst. And yeah, it's healing. It's healing. I've been using salves and balms and roses in the Gileads.
Those are just my ladybugs.
Gosh. What are your thoughts on All Stars 5? Do you see any standouts? Because I certainly do.
Do you? I can't
Mainly our new season 5 promo image. That's what I
think. I try not to engage with what I know about, you know, the season, maybe what I hear from some of the girls versus like what's presented to me. I really try to just like experience it.
Yeah.
And so I don't have any clear front runners. I certainly have people that I would like. So I'm definitely, of course, I'm rooting for Shay Coulee, who is my. Yeah. You know,
I'm rooting for Mariah because she came out there and did something that no one expected. Oh. No one saw it coming, because we know Mariah. We all worked with Mariah. We know she can buck. We know she gets down. We know she's a party girl. We know she's a good time. For her to come out and to give us a full thing, she gave us a taste of what she could do with her brain in Untucked on her season, talking about drag and just give us a little piece of hair and we're the innovators. She's totally correct. And when she came out and gave that performance, it gave me like Tatiana 2.0, like very much just out of nowhere. And then, I mean, I like that a girl that did like a fun tipping number upbeat thing won, but I think it would have been great if Mariah had won. They should have gone. You know, if I was World of Wonder, I would have gone back in and re-edited that and be like, India, we're still going to give you our money, but for this week, Mariah should win. And she should have won anyway.
For real? Let's be real. This is like, first of all, the choice that she did it, period, I think it's even more well-received in the time we're in right now. And obviously, they filmed that last year, so how could she have known? But not that this was a problem that came from out of nowhere, but the fact that this is so relevant and a topic of discussion. So I think she slayed, and I agree. It would have been good for them to go back in. I mean, how could they have re-edited it? They would have had to reshoot her winning.
Girl, like, they did it from her phone.
Top model voiceover work.
Oh, okay.
Disqualified.
The way they cut together the tie of Monet and Trinity. Using existing footage.
Yeah.
I heard Tyra wasn't even there when they filmed that.
Really?
I don't know. Our job is to first spread misinformation.
Whoa, that's our mission statement. So, okay, this is on the outline. I mean, okay. RuPaul hasn't tweeted since March 28th, and her last Instagram post was March 19th.
I have something real quick to say, because it is not okay. It is not my place to critique
exactly
anybody and how they choose to deal with this protest, especially someone who's probably dealt with who definitely has dealt with it more firsthand than me. So I can't say much, but I always look for leaders in the community to lead. And I would like to see that. I was saddened that RuPaul's Drag Race, the show account, didn't tweet more stuff, yet they let the DragCon account tweet stuff. Like, we all have... Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. RuPaul's Drag Con was tweeting more than the RuPaul's Drag Show thing.
Okay.
You mean... And when you say that they were tweeting stuff, you mean, like, actual, like, reposting of, like, direct stuff, or just saying Black Lives Matter?
I'm going to go to their account now so I don't speak out of turn, because my shoes taste delicious, but I do not need them in my mouth this week.
And well, look, this is how I feel. Like, I obviously agree with you. I would like to see more. I would like to see all of the celebs and leaders that we look up to being vocal about this. I think that we're on sort of a moment of, clearly we're in a moment of change that is, I think it feels like it's irreversible. And I feel like this is the big one. Like when we're like, if you want to do something about, if you want to stop racism, it's now. And I feel like we need all hands on deck. And so I would really love to see every single leader in the community and even folks out of the community, wherever they are, just being vocal about this and active about this. And it is disappointing when, especially if you are a part of a group or a family, any family, and some of the people at the head of that family communicate to everyone in the family that they would like the participation of all the people in the family. But then the people in the family look up and say, well, what about the head of the family?
Yeah.
I know. Honestly, I'm speaking in code. I know y'all understand what I'm talking about.
It's fine. We get it. No frack. But the RuPaul's Drag Race account between June 1st and June 5th retweeted Logo, Widow, Shangela, Bob. They didn't make any statement on... They made a statement on May 31st. And then after that, it was just retweets until June 5th when they said, okay, we're going to retweet Shay. We're going to say the first Pride started as a protest by a Black trans woman, which they got a lot of replies about that. Like, oh, so you can benefit off their protest, but you can't put them on your TV show. Like, comments like that I was seeing. And I deleted my tweet about, did you guys lose your password? Because someone said to me, literally, this is not your argument, baby. And I was like, I'm taking that down. Because,
same,
like,
thing that happened with Trinity. She went very there.
Aquaria did too.
Aquaria went all the way there and is still there.
She put her money where her mouth was, though. At least
she did, and I'm here for it. You know what? I mean, we can settle. We can, like, parse out who should have been here what later. Yeah. We have to get the job done.
Yeah. Any way possible.
And people are picking up the slack for people who are slacking. And so let's get the job done. And you know what? We are taking note. Anyone who's not talking about this and engaged in this conversation, we got you. And that's anyone. Yeah. And we notice it, and we will remember. And believe me, the conversation is not over.
Team. Well, on the RuPaul thing, it's not my place as a white person to be critical of what RuPaul has said or hasn't said. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't also want to put him in a position where now if he posts something, is everyone just going to jump on and be like, oh, well, where were you a week ago or whatever?
That's likely to happen.
It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't thing with him, I'm sure, every day of his life. If he does do something, people will come at him. So I with great power comes great responsibility. He says it to us all the time, and he needs to take his own advice right now.
Well, look, we can't discount that Rue has definitely done, just Rue's existence has been monumental for queer folk, for black folk, for black queer folk, in a time when, back in the late 80s, early and throughout the 90s, when he was the only one, you know, or the certainly the most visible and yeah. probably taken a lot of hits and blows that we have not, have not had to suffer.
Honey,
and
he
so
was,
maybe
he was a,
Rue was just tired.
He was a MAC girl and they didn't even carry his right foundation color shade. Like, come on. Like, MAC uh-huh. shades in the 90s and like, they were dusty. They never looked right on African-American skin. Sandy Linter uh-huh. talked about it. This makeup artist from the 70s and 80s that I follow. She was Gia Carangi's girlfriend. Like, she uh-huh. did all those MAC ads and like, they didn't even have like a good foundation range for her.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew, mm-hmm. I remember Matthew talking about it. Like, it's crazy.
So she really, I mean, to say that she's paid her dues would definitely be an understatement.
T.
But we need, this is such a heavy thing that we can't just lift it by ourselves. We need everyone to lift it.
Yeah. And it is like, and it's at a time like this where we are looking for leaders, which is like I said before, I'm so grateful to you and to Bob for being fucking leaders right now. And like, I just appreciate that so much.
Thank you.
Aside from being an activist and a leader, you're also a music star.
Hello, star. Okay. Ooh, star.
Yes, T. You have new music coming out on Friday, June 26th?
Yes, it's true.
Work.
I have a show, a little concert to promote that music. It's called Letters to My Lovers. And it's basically my diary over the last 2 years.
How many volumes is that?
Wait, what'd you say?
How many volumes is that?
It's actually 3 volumes.
Is there a syllabus?
Believe it or not. Yeah. There's 3, yeah. So this one, I believe, is the truth. One is coming out. The first one's coming out first. And so it's basically, it's just like 2 years of my life, just chronologically. I had a career ride of my life, just coming out of Drag Race, getting the chance
Broadway.
To speak at the Supreme Court, Broadway. I was also in a wonderful relationship. I was in the deepest of love that I've ever been in. And that ended. So I wrote about all that stuff. And it's not like a Kiki Cuckoo, like, you know, it's not like a club banger. It's not a house remix. It mm-hmm. is straight up late 90s, early 2000s throwback R&B.
Mm-hmm.
Willem mm-hmm. and Alaska. I know that's your tea.
Bitch, give me some Jodeci. Give me some Black. Give me some 3LW. Give me some Drew Hill.
Give me a little more leaning towards Lauren and Erica, like that vibe, Jill Scott.
Oh my gosh.
Miseducation of Lauryn Hill is my top all-time favorite album. Whenever someone asks me in an interview, that's the album. That and Velvet Rope I can listen to straight through, no problem. Those are the two.
Interludes and all.
All of them. Yeah. This is why we're friends.
So that comes out. The album's called the series of albums is called Letters to My Lovers. The full title is A Girl Like Me, Letters to My Lovers. And so hopefully y'all will keep your eyes peeled for it. We already released a single. It's called What You're Looking For. And so that's out now. People can check that out. Corona hit. There's no music videos. I'm just doing a performance and we'll see.
I love that.
Well, we would like to do everything we can to spotlight this and spotlight you. So you're our rainbow spotlight of the week. So everybody give a little listen to Peppermint's song and we'll be back in a second.
You're feeling like a queen, looking like the baddest they done seen.
Wait a minute, wait a minute.
Celebrating me, melanated, going for my goals, baby. Yeah, I did it,
yeah, I did it, yeah, I did it.
I just had to push to a higher level. Had to turn it up, get it louder, feel the treble, babe. Took some time to grow me, despite all the haters, now I'm winning. But it's cool, say I did it. Cause I learned what I need to love me. So I started when the pain ran so deep. But underneath, cause my heart is so the strength that's in me. Just to see, but it's crowded for what you're looking for.
What you're looking for.
Yeah. It ain't up there, it's within. Better know that you're a 10B.
What you're looking
yeah.
for.
Cause I learned what I need to grounded. So be watch out.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones. And, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite, and you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take down time and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you, and then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag. Today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app. All right, we are back, and this is a little segment. We do have a sung intro, so feel free to join in.
Feel free to vocalize. If you like.
Actually, three-part harmony would be great on this. So we're known for our amazing singing on
live
this
vocalists
podcast.
First.
So,
yeah.
Here goes. Okay, it's the song "Let's Get Physical," not by Dua Lipa, by Olivia Newton-John, but okay. We changed the words to "Let's Get Political,"
and it's an E sharp above staff.
Okay. F flat minor is
no marking.
Let's give it a try. No marking. We sent over the choreo ahead of time, so just everyone just imagine us doing the choreo. Yes. Okay. Great.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Let's get political. I wanna get political.
Let me see your policy. Oh my gosh, that was amazing.
Yeah, I've been taking lessons.
I was talking to you.
On Skillshare?
Skillshare.
That's Skillshare.com/drag.
Chad Michaels does the class on Skillshare.
And that sounds like a dolphin, not chair.
Girl, I just finished. I have one more class left in Rue's masterclass.
I live.
How's it going?
Well, if you've read her books, you're familiar with all of the stories. There are no new ones. There are some things that I definitely... She contradicts herself often if you watch them all
in
straight through.
In her masterclass?
Yeah. She's like, failure doesn't exist. And she's like, use your failures, blah, blah, blah. And like, there's a lot of stuff where you're just like, huh? Like... Huh?
Huh?
This is what you got. You can tell she did it in less than like 2 hours. Like, honestly, it's just her talking, which is useful in some points, and you get to hear a lot of wonderful stuff. But this is a political segment, and since she has been less than political in the past couple months, we don't need to talk about her right now.
Right. Let's talk about this first thing, because, okay, this says repeal of law 50A in New York, which
hell yeah, let's talk about it.
And it basically no longer allows police officer records to be secretive or private from the public. So the following quote comes from the New York Daily News. Willem, do you want to read it?
Sure. Mm-hmm. New York lawmakers took action Tuesday by voting to repeal 50A, a state law used by police departments to shield disciplinary records. The bill passed along party lines in Senate 40-22 with all Republicans voting against the measure. The assembly approved the measure 101-43 Tuesday evening, also along party lines. The Democrat-led legislature approved the long-stalled reform of the statute, which is routinely used to keep the public from learning about police misconduct and disciplinary actions taken against officers. The law became a point of contention following the 2014 chokehold death of Eric Garner at the hands of then NYPD officer Daniel Pantaleo, whose disciplinary record was shielded in secrecy.
So this, if I'm getting it right, this is a good thing that happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the police in general as a culture have this policy of sort of protecting their own.
It's the blue wall, and there's a lot of little bricks in the blue wall. Mm-hmm. Each state has their own sort of set of rules and regulations or policies or laws that add to being bricks of that blue wall. There's 50A that was in New York. There's another law, I can't remember the name of it, in Florida, that lists any police officer involved in an interaction that kills a civilian. So anytime any civilian gets killed while they're on duty, that the police officer involved in that shooting or killing is listed also as a victim of that crime. And then their records are sealed and their identity is hidden and protected. So if someone shoots someone and they're unarmed, we know is someone got shot, but we don't know who the officer is, which just protects them. And then they blend them into the system. And so there's a lot of things like that. It really, honestly, now that I'm hearing all this, because we don't really talk about all these laws, it really does remind me a lot of what the Catholic Church was doing when people were getting, when we were finding out who these priests were that were abusing people. They would just absorb them back into the system, shuffle them through, and then
we didn't know who was
a shell game, you know?
Right.
I don't understand how there's not more accountability for us as a public, because they're supposed to protect and serve. Our taxes pay their wages. They should have to answer to us. We shouldn't have to dig for answers and hope that they give them. Like, this should all be policy. I don't get it.
No, they're not there to protect and serve. The only reason that they're...
Isn't that their motto?
I'm going to catch them hit. That's the slogan. The slogan is that they're there to protect and serve.
That's the slogan.
And that is what we are told, because it's very important that you have the community cooperation for policing. It really doesn't work if the public is like fully against the cops, which is starting to happen now.
Which is why Minneapolis did the defund thing finally.
Exactly. But the real model is initially, and Shay talked about this in some of her posts, is that the police, the modern day police force in the States, which is that model has been taken to other places, was really invented as a way to control newly freed slaves and police newly freed slaves to protect white property and white bodies right after Emancipation Proclamation. And so now that we're like in this currently, it is really just an arm to sweep. It's literally the broom that sweeps bodies into prison. We're the only country in the world who has a for-profit prison system, which means that they get basically earn money for every single bed that's full. And so now they have these full beds. They need someone whose job it is to just get people into those beds, regardless of what. Make it look pretty, but get them into the beds. Get them into the beds. That's why there's and they're not doing that really to white folks. The first people that are just trying to get into the beds are the black folks. And so they have these really, really outrageous punishments and sentences for crimes that are minor, not even murdering or a violent crime against someone, for like moving violations and having a cigarette or being at the park bench too long. People are going to jail for these things. And so that's what the function of the police officers are for. And that the police unions, I believe, have a connection to these businesses that run the jails, the for-profit jails, are private companies that run the jails. They're owned. It's not the state. It's not the city. It's not. It is these private companies, and they are connected to the police unions, and the police unions are in charge of strong arming and making sure that city governments, because those are the people who make the regulations, the city governments cannot regulate the police. That's why there's their own internal investigations. Oh. You know, police are like, okay, something went wrong. We need to make this look good. We're investigating. You can't investigate us from the outside. We don't do independent investigations. We investigate ourselves, and we make our own recommendations, which are usually no jail time for the police officers, no one fired, if anything, reassigned so that they're just right. off the street. And that's pretty much as far as it goes.
I mean, the investigation where the two cops pushed that 75-year-old white guy with cancer, that investigation found that he more tripped than they pushed. That's what the guy said. It's like, we all saw the video, and the fact that we're paying attention to that instead of the people that are murdered, why do we all have to? I'm so sad for the Caucasian man and his family, but there's so much airtime being devoted to that, and so many white people are finally like getting up in arms about it. It's like, where were you a while ago for this?
Where
were you doing 3 weeks ago when you weren't posting stuff? I'm mad at everybody, but I'm especially mad at like the people that are whistleblowing that are then being arrested. Like I saw there was a case with someone who had cops come to their house. They called their lawyer. They wouldn't let the cops in. And the cops were literally recorded saying something like, we know how you feel about us, because something had happened where there was an incident where they complained about the cops and they came to their house. And I mean, like Ramsey Orta, the guy that filmed the murder of Eric Garner in 2014, was just released after 6 years of imprisonment because he had like some trumped up charges about gun possessions and drugs. And they just put him away to silence his voice, basically.
Let's talk about the... Okay, so yesterday, there were primaries in Georgia, Nevada, North Dakota, South Carolina, and West Virginia. People turned out to vote, but it was reported that all over Georgia, there were broken voting machines and very long lines to vote. And these reports were predominantly from Black and brown communities and didn't seem to affect Surprise. White districts or more affluent districts or Republican districts. This is voter suppression.
Typical.
Right? Yes.
Especially because the white Georgia governor, I think Stacey Abrams almost beat him.
She did.
But also she probably lost because of this same kind of thing.
Because during that election, he was the Secretary of State, and the Secretary of State is in charge of the voting system.
Oh, my God.
My God.
It was so like rigged flagrant. And ramshackled. It was ridiculous.
This is like season 3 all over again.
Yeah.
What's rigged about season 3?
Girl, Raja walked in and said hi to Duncan.
Oh, well.
Never mind.
So, okay, this is from the New York Times. Mm-hmm. Nikema Williams, the chairwoman of the Democratic Party in Georgia, said she had 84 text messages reporting voting problems within 10 minutes of the polls opening at 7 a.m. Ms. Williams, who is a state senator from Atlanta, said that in some locations, the voting machines did not work. And in at least one other, no machines ever arrived.
The office of Brad Raffensperger, probably a white guy, Georgia's Secretary of State, blamed Tuesday's problems on a variety of factors, including a shortage of experienced poll workers because of fears about the coronavirus and a learning curve in using the new machines. The Secretary of State's office is in charge of voting, and he's a Republican. And most Republican districts were fine. So this is one time we can use the word fishy again because it smells fishy. And it smells like voter oppression. I saw this lady in a Georgia line getting out of her car, and it was a white lady. I thought it was a Karen. But she was screaming, telling everyone to text their senators, text the news outlets, text the everybody's, because she said, I used to work in the Obama administration and this should not be happening. And like she was totally an ally, but she had to leave to go home to take medicine because she had been there since 6 a.m. and the cars hadn't moved in hours. They weren't letting people in and stuff. Like
I saw Justin Bieber's Instagram Live of all places. There was video. He was trying to spread the word about this. And so he gave access to his live so that they could go directly to one of the polling sites there in Georgia. And the folks had been there for like 6 to 8 hours waiting in line, trying to get through. And there was still a really, really long line. People were obviously giving up and going home because they have to, like you said, the lady had to take medicine. People had to leave. That's a long time. And a lot of these, and the voting poll station was in a Black neighborhood, obviously, in a senior center where people are still wearing COVID. It's still a thing. And so it's just, it's ridiculous. But this happens, this is not the first time. It's happened, it happens every single year, and it's, it just was less of an issue. But I think now in the light of Corona and Black Lives Matter, you know, people are just more paying attention to it. And the fact that I think more people than ever, I hope, want Trump out of office. And so people are really paying attention to the voting. And, you know, you can just put your ear to the ground. We can hear it. If we don't fix the candidate aside, because there's a lot of people that are like, oh, it should have been Bernie, it should have been whoever. Whoever it is not... We might have problems. We will have problems. We might could have problems if we do not get the voting situation together straightened. And I think the best solution right now with the 4 months we have left is being able to vote from home. Absentee voting, being able to mail-in vote, whatever. Because obviously we can't trust them to set up machines and give us deliver machines to the place and have electricity at the place where it needs to be.
Yes. But I mean, even if we do vote, I mean, the Electoral College, you know, it's gotten us twice in our lifetimes already. So what the fuck? They need to dismantle this shit from the get-go. They need to take away the Second Amendment and change that so we could be like all the other countries in the world and have less shootings because that was originally made to like keep slaves in line and shit and defend property. We don't need that anymore. And like defund like all this police and military stuff and just like... The Electoral College is the same kind of bullshit that needs to go. That was put in place so there wouldn't be a disproportionate vote of people because, you know, once there were tons of free people in the South too, they would be voting against the plantation owners, I'm sure. Like the Electoral College knew what was up and they protected their white asses for the future. And that's disgusting. So I'm all for banning that too.
I'm glad that there's more like spotlight on this because, like you said, this has been going on for a long time. But like this is, I mean, these are like dirty, nasty tricks that are being used just to like, oh, I'm so sorry, the machines didn't show up. How crazy! Oh my god, it's not good, and it's good that we're like exposing it.
Girl, okay. they got tricks all over the world too. They started trying to introduce a bill that would ban LGBTQIA adoptions and same-sex couples adopting. One of my best friends from high school, Ryan, is one of the smartest guys I know. He has 2 adopted children, and they're the cutest boys ever. One's African-American and one is white, and I follow their account and it brings me so much joy for the future because I'm like, those kids don't know racism yet. Those kids are cool. They're having a good time. I literally look at his account and just like rewatch videos. Like, I don't want the next generation to be having the same talk in 20 years.
So this is the thing though. It's not, I mean, agreed. I do not either, which is why this moment feels so crucial. But the thing that we're, what we're trying to get people to understand, and I had a really long talk with a queer porn star yesterday, which is another industry we are about to come for in terms of racism. The racism is baked into every single thing. It's less about the actions of the cops or someone using the N-word or someone joining the KKK. And it's really about this voting system. It's really about, you know, entertainment, not seeing these faces on screens in people's houses. It's really about, you know, the education system. You know, there's so much lopsided, and the definition of racism, or how I see racism defined, is just a system that's designed to help or not hinder a certain race or group because of the color of their skin. And so it's, even if they're not hearing bad words or your parents in the house of the cousins or the kids that you said, even if their parents are like, you should be nice to all people, the justice system is what it is. And whatever their experience is of that, or whatever their experience is in the education system and what they learn in school, whatever they see on TV, whatever they see in products and how those are used and how those are, you know, showing white people doing this and black people doing that, you know, that's what, that's subconsciously what they're learning, how they're learning their, that's how the racism is seeping in.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, even the SATs, cup goes with what? Spoon, fork? Like, remember that old question?
Oh, yeah.
Where they were showing the SATs were racist?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a system designed to not help and promote other. And that's mm-hmm. a problem for sure.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break real quick.
Yeah. We'll be back.
Okay.
My bang piece just fell off. Oh my god!
Oh, no.
Don't look at me. Don't look at me.
Cut it. Cut it. Don't look at me.
That's not breakage. It's baby hairs.
We are going. We are going right now on a trip deep inside, as we go spelunking,
unking.
Deep into the DMs. And speaking of DMs, our first message is from D.
Oh.
Okay, putting the D in DMs. This says, okay, hi girls. I wanted to let you know about an important problem coming out of the recent Black Lives Matter protests. Yesterday, a video went viral of a landlord kicking out someone renting an office space from him because the landlord saw the tenant protesting in a clip online. I know we may forget, especially since posting online is a huge part of spreading awareness, but whenever someone posts a photo of protesters, we should all do our job to blur, cover, or draw over their faces if we post the faces. It takes only a couple of seconds, and it helps prevent protesters from being tracked and facing even more danger than they are already in. I hope everyone listening can learn from this and reconsider how we spread images of the protests. Thank you both for all the work that you do.
I don't understand. How would they get tracked?
Girl, because it's that thing. I mean, everyone sort of like somebody posts a picture from somewhere. People on the internet are sleuths. They can be like, oh, well, this I can track it.
Oh,
Facebook.
Yeah, you can reverse Google image search thing. Mm-hmm.
And if it gets picked up, especially if it gets picked up by an outlet, you know, a news outlet posting about
it. Sure.
So there's lots of different ways. Listen, the truth is, I know that that's like a way to sort of try to subvert another subversive move of people using image search and facial recognition software to either the government, the cops. There's reports of the police using that and kind of retaliating against people for exercising their First Amendment rights. What we need to do is beef up the First Amendment rights to allow people to protection from that. And I think the way the First Amendment was written, it doesn't really cover this area, and so landlords and folks are able to retaliate against people based on what they see, political protests, their affiliations, and things like that. And granted, people can make any choice they want, but first of all, I don't know what state that person lives in that they're able to get evicted for something like that.
That doesn't sound like it'll
illegal.
Hold up.
It doesn't sound like it'll hold up in court. So if your landlord is trying to, first of all, if you know who your landlord is, and here's the word to everybody. If your landlord is a person, whoever your landlord is, a person or a company, and they come to you and tell you that they're evicting you, do not leave. The only people that can evict you, I believe, at least in the state of New York and what the places where I've actually looked into this, is the housing court in the United States. The housing court in your city and state in the United States are the only people who can evict you. Not some landlord, not some disgruntled person. They can complain all they want and they can ask you for the money that you agreed to pay them, but they cannot evict you. So if they're trying to retaliate against you, you need to tell them to take it to court. And then in court, they'll state their case. And as long as you agree, I know that I'm way off topic. As long as you agree but this is kind of pertinent because a lot of people are not paying their bills because of COVID. As long as you agree to a payment plan, or as long as you agree that you want to stay in the place and you will keep paying and you come up with a reasonable way to do that and you express that in court, then you will be protected. It's really difficult to evict well-meaning people who intend on paying. And well-meaning people who intend on paying are people that are honestly not able to pay because they haven't had jobs for the past 3 months. It is not your fault. And so if somebody tries to evict you behind that or a protest, especially a protest, it is straight up a violation right now. Now, if the Trump administration has something to do with it, they might not, because apparently they are, while we are doing this, trying to chip away at the First Amendment. That's a whole nother conversation. But for now, it still stands. In addition to that, one of the things that is really important, this connects and intersects with Title VII. Title VII are workplace protections. And they're one of the cases that went to the Supreme Court in October for Title VII was a gay person or a queer person who was basically, their employer saw an event that they were involved in. I found that they were gay from social media, basically. I don't think they were out at work, but then the employer looked somehow on social media and saw that this person was affiliated with this gay group or whatever. And so then they got fired. And that case went all the way to the Supreme Court, along with Amy Mann. And I don't remember.
Amy, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Amy Stevens, yeah. And I'm not sure the other person's name. And so now, right now, the Supreme Court is about to, probably on Monday, hand down a decision and let us know whether they're going to uphold the protections that already exist for Title VII, which protect everyone, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, gender, sexuality, gender expression, all those things, disability, from being fired in their workplace. Or they can decide to kind of strip those protections away. And that's what's being argued right now. And so hopefully they will keep those things in place so that if you go out and protest, you can't get fired. If you're affiliated with Black Lives Matter or with LGBT, whatever, you can't get fired. But it's important that the public know this, because the government is being real sneaky behind our backs. I'm off my soapbox.
Well, hopefully we'll have some good news next week when the courts do hand down that decision. Hang on, RBG. Next up from Fizz, he says, "Hey, Aluska, Villam, and Dippity-Doo. I am not sure that you are aware about change.org and their updates to policy on donations to the causes like the George Floyd petition. Bottom line is that they don't give money raised through a petition to victims like Floyd or the petition organizers." Yeah, someone literally told me this in a tweet. "The money they collect goes to advertising the petition on their own site and elsewhere." But it literally also says that under the donation thing, it says this $20 will advertise 25 times, which is why I stopped donating there. Cause I was like, let me donate directly to something. Like, I don't need to pay for your advertising, change.org. But according to the article, they used to keep a portion of it and now they keep it all. The policy change happening quietly in 2019. Fizz says, "I think petitions are important for social change and justice, but if you're going to collect money for a cause, it should go to helping said cause and not advertising the petition on their own site. Thanks for reading. Even though I don't have a drick pic spreading awareness about this, this cash grab at the expense of dupe donors." I mean, I don't think the advertising is on their own sites. I think it's on other sites, because I originally saw it on Facebook and I didn't see it on their site, and that was their advertising monies in action. But thank you for the information, Fizz.
So the takeaway from that is, if you're going to donate, I mean, it's important to sign the petitions. But if you're going to donate, it's better to do it directly to a different site that goes directly to whatever that causes, right? Is that the takeaway?
Yeah.
Getting that right?
Basically.
The next message comes from Christopher. "Hi, Willam, Alaska, and Big D. Longtime listener, first time caller. I'm a huge fan of both of yours." Is that shade? Because he said, "Hi, Willam, Alaska, and Big D. I'm a fan of both of yours."
We don't know who.
It's like this one time we posted a picture. There were like five queens in the picture, and then like someone commented, "Four of my favorite queens." And we're like, "Wait, which one is it? Which one do you hate?"
What was I supposed to say? You know I don't get along with everybody.
Okay, so the note says, "I'm writing it because I need some advice. I just bought my first house in January, and my long-term boyfriend has been planning on moving in with me at some point in the future. Ms. Corona decided to do her thing, and we both agreed it would be best for him to just stay in quarantine with me. So he's unofficially moved in. With that said, I've always known He likes a drink. Don't get me wrong, I love a cocktail, but he's a bottle or two of wine a night, multiple nights a week kind of guy. I know he deals with anxiety, depression, and I'm thinking this is some sort of self-medicating. To be frank, it has me worried for his health and general well-being. Like I said, I've known him to like a drink, but with it just being us together 24/7, it's really amplified it. It's a lot. Whenever I approach the topic, things escalate quickly, and he either gets very upset and shuts down or walks away from the conversation entirely. I've tried the stern and serious approach. I've tried the compassion, well-being approach, and I'm not proud, but the yelling and screaming approach. Nothing seems to lead to any meaningful changes. I love him dearly and will have been together 7 years this October. He's truly a great guy, funny, sweet, and caring. It's just this drinking that has me concerned. Any advice, suggestions? I would love to hear back from both of you. Christopher in Ohio. P.S. I don't have any dick pics, but here are some pics with and of the dolls I've been lucky enough to meet. I apologize for the truly homophobic angle from which I took that photo, Alaska, but I flew all the way from Cleveland and I had to get the pic. All right, Christopher in Ohio.
Ooh, nurse. Bitch, I've never seen a skinny Caucasian hippo in rhinestones. How is your mouth open that far? Damn. I look great from the same angle, but it's all in the lighting.
Yes.
So, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, the part that got me was they've been together for 7 years.
7 years? You didn't know? That there was a drink having?
Right.
Yeah, right?
And this is the thing about, like, addiction. First of all, like, with addiction, if your partner has a trouble with drinking, there's an element of, like, hiding it and sort of, like, mm-hmm. you know, sort of, like, misleading and sort of, like, downplaying the influence of what it actually is. But everything gets amplified when you move in together and also when you're quarantined, because you're really moving in together because you're spending all of your time together. So sort of everything gets amplified. So it could be that his drinking got amplified because maybe he was having a little bit of drinking, but being in this sort of heightened, like, stressful situation maybe caused him to, like, even just ramp that up.
Yeah, I think they should just sit down, crack open a nice bottle of red, and talk about it.
Stop that.
I don't drink anymore. It was never a problem.
I don't drink any less.
Oh. It was never a problem in my relationship drinking, but I did have problems with my ex when he would drink, and I would tell him that. And I think that he's not going to want to change. I don't see in this guy's letter how it's affecting Christopher. Like, how is his drinking affecting you other than you don't like it? Like, you're worried about his health, you're worried about other stuff, but, like, is it affecting your relationship somehow? Like, is it being a downer on that? Can he not get hard? Like, is there something affecting you? Because if it's not even affecting you yet, it's probably not even on his radar that he's doing it too much, because he's just doing what he's always done. And he's not going to want to stop until he has a better reason or he has a rock bottom. And both of these things need to come from him, not from you, really. I mean, you can inform him and stuff and tell him, but people stop when they want to stop.
Well, do you want to read the next one, Willem?
Yes. From Ryan. Hello, Alaska, Willem, Peppermint, and Big Dip Dip Dipper Wellington III. Lately, I've been thinking a lot about the power of drag. I guess it's from watching We're Here, along with Secret Celebrity Drag Race. Yes, I watched it.
Secret Celebrity.
By the end of the show, you'll discover who the celebrity is. Well, the contestants are more famous than the celebrities, so let's just be blunt. And seeing what happens having a drag makeover has meant to every single person involved. I don't want to become a drag performer, but I would be interested in having a one-time drag experience, because it seems to me this is something that everyone should experience at least once. Do you have any tips for someone who could successfully feel their full drag fantasy?
I don't think I want to be a drag performer, but how can I start being a drag performer?
T. I'm sorry.
Or alternately, because we know any makeup I would do on myself would be extra crunchy, do you think there are any divas out there after the Corona times would offer makeover services and do a little photo shoot in exchange for a few coins on the dresser? You could put something on the dresser. Thanks for all your award-winning services to the community. I've attached a few pictures of my explicit drink and balls. Oh, sorry. Whenever I see dicks that big, I have to sneeze because I have to clear my nasal cavity because I'm about to be flooded.
Send a screen share. Dipper.
I emailed you the outline.
Oh, it's in there? Sorry.
I'll text it to you right now.
Okay.
Well, okay. This member is standing up at a, I guess it's a 45 degree angle.
I don't have a protractor with me, but I do know that my book, which is also featured, is 12 inches long. And is in the background, so foregroundly-wise, I would say his member is 8.4 inches, and it is a gingered salute, dusting of hair. And
bright red ginger hair. And listen, he says, I and balls for Alaska. Listen, I am not like some ball fiend. I find it curious that people who send dick pics consistently edit out or hide their balls. So thank you for showing like the entirety of what you've got and not trying to like pretend you don't have balls. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Also, the moles look even. The coloration is fair. There is no chafing. And the perimeter seems clear.
So as far as the question, the answer is yes. There are queens who are fucking good at makeup and good at hair, and you should pay them properly. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure they would be happy after the Corona times to get you up in gig. And I agree that I think drag is very transformative, and everybody deserves to have that moment of turning around in the mirror and just being everyone.
Girl, I put Anthony in drag, and he didn't want to go home. He's like, I'll take it off. I said, mm-hmm. Yeah. He was so sad. But I would also like to say that in New York, they had something called Miss Vera's Finishing School for boys who want to be girls.
Yeah.
Seriously? Where, like,
how do you remember that? Where were you? What?
I wanted to start this.
You weren't here.
Baby girl, I've been in New York since I was 16.
Okay, bitch.
Yeah. Miss Vera's Finishing School for boys who want to be girls has always inspired me. I've wanted to open an experience like that with Airbnb in LA, and I was working on it before Corona. So I can help people get up in drag and live the fantasy and have their little moment and make some money off of it. Because, like, you know, I think drag is transformative and it's changed my life so much. So
truly.
That's true.
Did you know Miss Vera?
Yes, darling. She used to come in. She used to bring her clients, her clientele. That's how you'd say it, clientele into Lips, where I used to work, Lips Drag Restaurant. And so, because, you know, they would get all up in Yags, and then they go needed out somewhere town. To go. So that was like the outing. She would bring the girls into Lips.
Yeah. Oh, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go across the street to World of Wonder and say, hey, I got some new girls for your basement shows. Can I send them through the back? And then we're going to go across the street to Bordner's and get some tacos and some bitch. They have this jalapeno mac and cheese, which
eating
will set
tacos,
your asshole
Mexican
on fire. It's a mini challenge. It's a mini challenge.
The lighting in Bordner's is great for first time drag, too.
Oh,
it's
honey.
Very favorable.
Oh, honey. Dark very velveteen favorite. Curtains. All yes. of it. Distance and darkness. Any doll's friend.
Yes. The answer is yes, Ryan. There
call
are resources
me.
And do it.
And
the next
me.
Message comes from Benry. Okay. Hey, hi, hello, Ms. Fuck, Ms. Will I Am Not, and Ms. Dipper with the good D. My name is Benry Fauna. I'm a photographer born and raised outside of Pittsburgh. Hi. But I'm currently living in New Orleans as I'm trying to cope with the current cultural climate and reconcile with my own experiences as a Black and queer male. I'm striving to express that in a way that can benefit others. I personally have struggled finding my place in the queer community because I often felt objectified and fetishized for my body, even after overcoming my own insecurities from growing up the overweight, nerdy, and awkward. I can't use dating apps because the anxiety of feeling like I am attractive for my body over my heart and personality holds me back. I always wanted to express my sexuality, but I had to come to terms with the fact that when some people look at my body, all they see is a Black body. With this in mind, I want to use my artistry to open up about my personal journey of worshiping my body and liberating myself from my sexual anxieties. I'm using OnlyFans as a way to showcase this work, and all the proceeds generated from my account will be donated to Black Lives Matter movements, and specifically helping Black and LGBT causes in the community I've been grateful enough to work in. My long-term focus is supporting Black, queer, and trans individuals working in the hospitality industry, as well as supporting mental health resources to Black LGBT youth. Willem, you and I have actually worked together once before.
You came to
New Orleans with the Haters Roast tour last year, and I was your green room server. You were so kind to me. I remember being obsessed with your denim sandals, and you gave me a lighter with your face on it, which I still cherish. And Alaska, you are very much one of my very first drag performers I've ever seen live, as I partied back and forth from Pittsburgh and Edinburgh back in my college days. Yes, Edinburgh. S.O. to the beautiful bubs at the...
Shout out
to the beautiful bubs at the Blue Moon. I'm so happy to have seen how far you have come. The growth is abundant, Henny. But sorry for the super long message. If you are able to direct some attention to my cause of sharing my black body to fund black bodies, I would... appreciate it. I'm so happy you're out here creating the much necessary need to continue to create art. But in the meantime, take a gander at my art house, Drick.
Hell
love
yeah.
You bunches, Benry Fauna. And you can go to onlyfans.com/Benry Fauna. And P.S. I loved to refer to Heidi N. Closet as Heidi Enya Closet. It rolls off the tongue better.
Oh, bitch,
no one likes Heidi's name.
I could tell you something you could put on my tongue. Benry's fine. And we will be linking him on racechaserpod.com. We personally cannot go on OnlyFans because we are banned. Shadow banned. Oh yeah, I'm shadow banned. I've tried 4 different credit cards and my name must be banned because we had an account there and they didn't like it, I guess, and we didn't get the money and it wasn't going well, and I think I was public about it somehow. And
well, we were
I can't
public
join.
About their server kind of not being strong enough to support the content we were putting up, like because we were putting up videos and stuff, and their servers couldn't handle it, right?
Yes.
Isn't that what they do? Is videos?
Yeah, we had a lot of listeners. Yeah,
yeah, but
we had a lot of listeners reach out and say they couldn't access our content, so we just moved it over to Patreon. Will you describe these art house Drick photos?
Oh,
yes,
hell yeah.
These are great. They're very artistic and beautiful black and white photos from Benry. In the one, there's sort of like baby's breath. And
it's baby's
like
breath right by the hole, which is definitely
ass.
Yeah, it's definitely I think it has many layers. I would like to call to mention that the one where his hole, his balls, everything is all out. I want to say his feet are clean because, like, that is important.
Like,
when you're doing nudes and you have some dirty ass feet, it's nasty.
Yeah.
I look at it. I do look at it.
Yeah. His haircut's nice. There's 2 nipples. There's plenty of seating, especially on that dick. And his use of horticulture in someone tell Jiggly what that means is just beautiful.
Very nice. And thank you for including ass pics because I just think asses are more like beautiful to the eye. I know everybody sends dicks and they're like, this is my dick. But like, to me, like asses are like aesthetically like very beautiful to me.
I think
so
everyone
you.
Can appreciate a nice ass.
Yes, absolutely. Everyone can.
Yeah, when an ass is so good that a bottom has to, like, that's when. And this guy's ass is that very much.
We thank you, Benry Fauna. And your Insta Twitter is also Benry Fauna. That's Benry, Benry, Fauna. And
we
that's
also
all the messages in the mailbag.
We are also very thankful to have had Peppermint as our guest today. Big ups. Isn't it nice not to have to give out grilled cheese and shoes?
Girl, remember that? Remember that?
I remember
Actually,
that.
I just saw the video. I remember it. And I know they were taking video. I never saw like the full... They had like a couple of like full videos, like a 5 minute this and a 10 minute that.
Did they?
And he sent it to me and I'll send it to you. It's actually really good. Like they made
they
a
made
movie
me take
about
mine.
The whole thing. Huh?
They made me take mine down. I had a little video about it years ago, probably 2012. Peppermint and I did a gig where we gave out grilled cheeses on the street while trying to promote these ugly ass Cole Haan shoes that didn't fit any of us.
They hurt so my feet so bad.
Oh, wait, God. They did fit you, right?
Yeah, they fit me, but I think other people were not wearing Cole Haans. They fit me, but barely, girl, barely.
Oh, girl, they fit me too, but I told them they didn't because I was not about to put that on my foot.
Oh, my God.
I was trying to play along.
And grilled cheese was the promo?
Well, they were like, it was like out on all night, go out on the streets of New York. And then so they had us giving grilled cheese to everybody. It was cute.
Because
I mean,
what says... Yes, that was it. I mean, and I'm lactose intolerant. And I'm trying to give out grilled cheese.
But it was like a Good whole luck. Week worth of... It was like we were working there for a week.
We had like fittings. They wanted to see
fittings
what we were wearing.
And conversations.
It was a lot. The gigs.
Well, we thank you so much for being here, Pep. I'm so glad that you were on the pod with us this week.
It's nice to do it in real... Like, I guess, I don't know if we're in person, but last time I was on, it was just a quick phone call. And it was when I was at the Supreme Court. So thank you for inviting me back on.
Yes.
I do want to mention
and everyone. I do love your drag today. This nude power net illusion with the bugle beads.
Yes. Oh. They are bugle beads, aren't they?
I want to mention really quickly to everyone that I'm doing. Bob the Drag Queen and I are... teaming up with some really fierce people, excellent Black queer talent for a Black queer town hall, which will be streamed live on GLAAD and NYC Pride's official YouTube pages on June 19th. That's Juneteenth. For those who don't know what that is, it's look it up. June 19th, 20th, and 21st. That's a weekend. We have lots of celebrity guests. It's all Black queer talent. We have some panels, discussions, performances, the whole nine yards, and you all are all invited. It's free. So please check it out.
We will link that on our Race Chaser Pod Instagram. And if you'd like to see more of us on Instagram, you can follow Peppermint at The Only Peppermint or Peppermint 411.
247.
Peppermint 247. Sorry.
Yeah. I forgot to finish writing.
Oh, no. It's 411.
Get the 411.
With the 411, honey.
Peppermint, and she's at Peppermint 311 if it's a non-emergency. I'm Willem on Instagram, The Only Alaska 5000, and at Race Chaser Pod.
And Peppermint 247, correct?
Yes, please. Mm-hmm.
Like 24/7. Yes. Okay.
Exactly.
The link in our bio on Instagram at Race Chaser Pod has lots of places to donate money in support of the Black Lives Matter movement. Check those out and do something every day to educate yourself, to practice anti-racist behavior. Reach out to someone with resources. Look for volunteer opportunities. Go to a protest. Donate to an organization. Sign petitions. This is not a one-time action. This is not a fad or a trend. The journey is ongoing.
Yeah, and if you want to contribute to that journey here on Hot Goss, you can send us your questions at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com. Good questions and nudity get priority boarding and service animals. We have bonus video content also available at patreon.com/Willem. And if you use the hashtag racechaser, you can watch the videos for $1 each for the rest of your life and do your thing.
Mark.
Yeah.
What's their thing?
We'll be back next week.
Masturbate?
it's your coin. Once you give us the money, you can do whatever you want with the video.
Okay. We're cam girls.
Cam girls. $69 a minute on Cameo.
We'll be back next week with more
piping, steaming,
scalding,
boiling. Ha. Gah.
We'll be right back. Hot Goss is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is graciously provided by ATF Enterprises.
This Goss is hot.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.